BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the Internet at bcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us on Crosstalk, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to begin with some breaking news coming from the Supreme Court as they have just ruled on the Biden vaccine issues and the mandates that are coming forth. And we'll get to that here in just a moment. I do want to introduce our guest and topic, though, because we're going to be delving right into it. Because what's happening around the world as it relates to the COVID shot is happening at lightning speed. I mean, according to writings from our guest today, France passed a measure for vaccine passes that has to be shown to visit public venues like restaurants, museums, fairs, seminars, trade shows, even public transportation. Italy has mandatory COVID shots for people 50 and older with few exceptions. Those who refuse will pay a recurring monthly fee. Austria is set to enact mandatory vaccination on February 1st for anyone 14 and above. Those who refuse face a fine or jail time if unable to pay. Germany is soon voting on a near universal mandate. Greece has announced mandatory jabs for all citizens who are 60 and older, again, threatening those who do not with monthly recurring fees. It's also been reported in Quebec, Canada, that their premier announced that his province will implement monetary penalties in the form of health contributions for unvaccinated citizens. Those who refuse the jab will have to pay a new health contribution. Unbelievable actions are being taken in Australia, New Zealand, China, and other locations as well. Then we look at what's happening in New York City, California, and other blue states. In Philadelphia, their new vaccine passport system even extends to private homes that host more than 24 people. And there's even talk of the Washington State Board of Health forcibly isolating and quarantining COVID-positive individuals and groups of people or those merely suspected of being infected. Well, here to join us today to talk about this and the breaking news, we welcome back to Crosstalk Veronica Karolenko. She is contributor to the New American magazine, a research associate at a defense consulting firm, Geostrategic Analysis, located in Arlington, Virginia. She has contributed commentary on various international and domestic policy topics and political topics for the last 8 years. Her work has appeared in the Western Journal, American Thinker, The Hill, and other publications. She holds a PhD degree in political science. Veronica, welcome back here to Crosstalk.
Hello, Jim. Thank you very much for such a nice introduction and for endorsing my writing. I really do try, to keep up with all the news and keep informing people on those very important yet underreported stories. You see how important they are and how shocking they are to most freedom-loving Americans. We hear crickets from the mainstream media. They just don't cover it.
Indeed, crickets. And thank you to Veronica and to others writing for the New American exposing these issues. Thanks also to Brandon for his text here pointing us to the breaking news coming from the U.S. Supreme Court. Let me just quick read here from Fox Business. The Supreme Court on Thursday issued mixed rulings in a pair of cases challenging Biden administration's COVID-19 vaccine mandates, allowing the requirement for certain health care workers to go into effect while blocking enforcement of the mandate for businesses with 100 or more employees. So we've got a mixed ruling here. Veronica, the court has issued their opinion that that OSHA, we can't do this end around and force, OSHA forced businesses to force the shot upon businesses with 100 or more employees. That's been struck down, but it's been allowed to stand for the matter of hospitals and clinics and medical facilities that accept Medicare or Medicaid, that they must force this upon their employees.
Yes, while the first part is very, brings back some optimism about the Supreme Court in their judgments, but the second part is definitely very, very disturbing, I'd say, because, there are just so many healthcare workers, and especially in the rural areas, those who are affiliated with the Medicare and Medicaid programs, they will probably see very, very sad consequences because sometimes in rural areas, those are really small facilities that employ just a few people. And if those few people refuse to get vaccinated, it means that the whole community would lose those medical professionals. I've read the filings, suits that were filed on behalf of many states against those against that part of the Biden's mandate. And they say, for example, a small community in Texas only has one anesthesiologist, and he's unvaccinated. And he will be fired because he does not want to take a jab. It's just his choice, and he just does not want to do that. So what happens next? So this is something very, I don't know why the Supreme Court decided, the justices decided that it makes any legal sense. And then, of course, from the medical perspective, it's a common knowledge. I mean, even the CDC admits that being vaccinated doesn't mean that you do not spread virus to others or get infected yourself. Or even you can even land in the hospital. And, you know, there are numerous studies that are now available and that are showing the so-called negative efficacy of the vaccines, meaning the vaccinated people do get infected at higher rates than vaccinated people.
You know, yeah, and that's a point we're going to come back to on this as well, getting COVID at higher rates than unvaccinated people. I think what's interesting as we look at this Supreme Court decision just handed down, Veronica, yesterday on Crosstalk, I carried a story in California that they are actually bringing, they're trying to get back COVID-positive healthcare workers to bring them back in to deal in their COVID wings rather than bring back the people who do not have COVID but who have not been vaxxed within the, their healthcare workers that they fired. They would rather bring back those who are COVID positive back into their hospital wings than to bring back those who are unvaxxed and also testing not positive for COVID. I mean, it's crazy.
Yes, I've seen those news. I think this is just this kind of absolute insanity that we're descending into with this kind of policies and fear mongering and vaccine mandates. And this is such a psychosis, you know, like as Dr. Robert Malone recently said, it's just a mass formation psychosis that people are even coming up with this kind of decisions, with this kind of solutions to the issues that can be easily fixed with some reasonable means. And, I really hope that the tide, and I think that tide is turning right now, and people are just waking up to this absolute insanity and see that the policies that the Biden administration is proposing make absolutely no sense.
Right, right. And folks, if you're not waking up, check your pulse. Check your pulse. I mean, seriously, to see the issues that are going on. And now, Veronica, the stories are coming out also this week, and no doubt you've seen them on the matter that now they're taking military health workers, National Guard workers that have some kind of health care background and deploying them to hospitals around the United States as well because of the shortage of health care workers. They have fired so many workers in the healthcare industry. All of a sudden, and we have this COVID surge that's taking place and record hospitalizations. They fired all these workers, will not bring them back, and now we're calling upon the National Guard to put their medically trained personnel into hospitals that are now short-staffed?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I've seen the news. I believe it started back in October and early November of the last year with New York and New Jersey because they were among the first states where, well, private hospitals were forced to, I'm not sure now, but in New York and New Jersey, the hospitals decided to implement this mandate, and the services, the healthcare services were disrupted. I mean, I wrote the story about the maternity wards being closed altogether because there were not enough nurses and doctors who would take care of the moms to be. This is what is happening. And with the today's ruling of the Supreme Court, I believe that the situation will become even more terrible because those unvaccinated doctors and nurses in Medicare, Medicare facilities or affiliated facilities
yes.
will be fired as well. So you can imagine what kind of toll on the health of Americans it will take.
Yeah, and folks, we're going to see, I mean, we have seen urgent care centers that have been shut down already. We have seen a maternity ward shut down for a hospital. Others have had to shut down emergency rooms as a result of losing health care workers. But now that the Supreme Court has upheld that the president has the authority to mandate any facilities that get, you know, the federal Medicare or Medicaid money, that they can force this upon their hospital workers, Veronica, I fear we're going to see a mass exodus that is really going to cripple our health care in the United States of America.
Well, I remember the CDC officials say that, oh, no, there is nothing to worry about. There's just a tiny fraction of medical professionals who are unvaccinated, and it will not affect in any way the health care services. But we see that they lied. We see that now, and I'm working on the article that is dedicated to the excess deaths that we've seen during the last year compared to, you know, the 2020 and then compared to the pre-pandemic times. This is absolutely terrible, and it's not just COVID. Because actually, COVID just it's just a fraction of the causes of the excess deaths. The lion's share is overdoses, and the other is uncured illnesses, because people didn't go to the hospitals, and now with the hospitals losing their staff, it's getting even worse, and people just cannot go and get this help that they so urgently need sometimes. So I don't know. I really don't know, but I do believe that. People still can't change the situation.
Yeah, yeah. Well, friends, we're talking here with Veronica Karolenko, a contributor to the New American Magazine. She's a research associate at a defense consulting firm. That's Geo Strategic Analysis, located in Arlington, Virginia. She writes for numerous publications. She has a Ph.D. degree in political science. And I know we're just going to get introduced this portion of our interview here, but you have just written about what is happening with these forced COVID shots worldwide. I mean, you write about France and Austria and Greece and Germany and Canada. We're familiar with what's going on in Australia and New Zealand. It is truly troubling, Veronica, to see what's happening worldwide.
Yes, well, many of the countries, they decide to roll out not just the third, but actually the fourth booster shot. And what they're doing, they are actually slashing the intervals between the initial inoculation and the boosting, meaning that, for example, here in America, even the CDC shortens the booster interval to 5 months mm-hmm. for the Pfizer vaccine. So, yeah. I will tell you more about that.
Okay, so what's happening worldwide? We're going to talk about that more, and then we're going to bring it back as to what's happening within the United States, a number of communities where things are clamping down here as well. So we'll be back in just a minute here on Crosstalk. Veronica Karolenko, our guest. This is Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, are whales related to any land animals?
Chris, evolutionists think they are. In fact, this is one of their strongest arguments these days, that whales evolved from land animals with legs. Some say that the ancestor looked like a cow or maybe a wolf or a hippopotamus. Well, I think they're all wrong. Recently, the head portion of a whale fossil was found in California. It didn't have the rear portion at all, but this didn't keep evolutionists from claiming that they had small rear legs. Chris, why do we believe them? Why do even evolutionists believe them when they make up stories like this? The Bible says that God created whales on day 5 of creation week. They've always been whales, and they still are whales. Even whales go back to Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
just joined us, you're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Breaking news just minutes before we went live from the U.S. Supreme Court, in which they did halt. They gave a setback to the Biden administration, who's demanded that OSHA force businesses to give the shot to businesses that would be required if they had 100 or more employees, who are putting plans in place to lower that for companies with fewer employees as well. That's been shot down by the Supreme Court. However, the same court upheld the right of the Biden administration to force those institutions that get Medicaid or Medicare to allow them to force this upon their employees. So talking about that, as well as just the forced COVID shots taking center stage worldwide, with us today is Veronica Karolenko. She's got some wonderful articles as she is writing on this on a regular basis. You'll find them at thenewamerican.com, thenewamerican.com. And Veronica, we were just talking about the issue of the shots and the boosters and so forth, that the time period in some countries has actually been shrinking from shot number one versus, you know, obtaining shot number two, shot number three, and some are actually going out to shot number four.
Yes, they do, and started with Israel, and you know how heavily vaccinated this country is, but still they are seeing that their cases are on the rise, despite nearly 80% of the population being fully vaccinated. So back in August, they started to offer all people, they started with seniors and then gradually expanded the recommendation to other groups. So, but it happens in August, so they started to administer the third dose in August, and the initial inoculation, they started that in December. So it means that just 9 months later, they needed this third dose of the Pfizer vaccine, because the Pfizer is the exclusively used brand of the vaccine in Israel. So they started to inoculate their people with the third dose in August. And now, 4 months later in December, they said, okay, we're still seeing the surge in infections, so we need to do something. And they decided that they needed a fourth dose. So they're starting to give the immunocompromised people and those with fragile health fourth dose. This is what they do. In the meantime, many other countries are shrinking this period between the initial inoculation and the boosting dramatically. I mean, in Australia, for example, they say that people who complete their primary dose of COVID-19 vaccination no less than 4 months ago will now be able to receive a booster dose. In Germany, they are also, you know, rolling out the fourth dose of the shot. And the health minister specified that such an offensive approach is needed to tackle the Omicron, even though we see that Omicron is indeed highly contagious. It's highly contagious, but the data of the real world data, including that coming from South Africa when it all started, it suggests that it's very mild. The mm-hmm. symptoms of the disease are very, very mild. So it's actually a good thing, because many people will indeed get infected, but at the same time, they will acquire a natural immunity, which is much stronger and much more durable than the immunity that is produced by the vaccines. And at the same time, you do not get those potential adverse reactions to the vaccines, which they are becoming very infamous for.
You know, I find it also very interesting that the top health agency of the European Union is now warning, Veronica, that getting this booster every 4 months could actually harm your immune system's ability to even fight the disease.
Well, yes, exactly. So, yes, this is European Medical Agency and World Health Organization. You know, probably the last organization the last entity that would recommend this kind of cautious approach to the pandemic. Mm-hmm. Just yesterday, they issued those statements saying that it's it's not a good practice. It's unstudied. And, yes, and the EMA actually said that it may tire out your immune system. And, you know, non-establishment scientists, they have been warning against repeated boosting because it really adversely affects your immune system.
Yeah.
And we know that the vaccines, unfortunately, of course, they do not work as they intended, you know, the scientists intended them to work. For example, we know that they do not just stay in your deltoid or in your shoulder muscle. They go further. They travel to your lymph nodes that this is the place that produces lymphocytes, and lymphocytes are an essential part of your immune system, and they fight against cancer cells, against bacteria and other viruses in your environment, in your body, and you know, they do surround us on a daily basis. So we really need those lymphocytes. And at the same time, it seems that vaccines teach some of the lymphocytes to express the spike protein that is seen by other lymphocytes as an enemy. And this is how the lymphocytes attack each other. And This is how your immune system weakens. So, yes, those are really, really serious issues. And that can affect hundreds of millions. People around the world, this is just something that needs to be studied very closely, and the preliminary data is there, but the official body is just turning a blind eye on that kind of issue.
And that's what's so amazing, because how many times have we heard, just follow the science, follow the science, and we've got these studies that are going on, and it's so interesting, because I saw in the Epoch Times yesterday, for the first time in New South Wales in Australia, that they have seen more fully vaccinated patients hospitalized with COVID-19 compared to the number of unvaccinated patients as the Omicron outbreak continues to reach its peak. And you also, Veronica, you released a story Tuesday of this week, the study, 145 countries, and that the rollout of the COVID jab was likely associated with a 38% increase of COVID cases and a 31% increase in deaths per million. I mean, that's astonishing.
The scientists, I mean, non-establishment scientists, of course, have been warning that there are serious issues with, producing a vaccine against any coronavirus, because the scientists try to make this vaccine to be safe and effective, but they never succeeded because of the antibody-dependent enhancement, this phenomenon known as ADE. Apparently, it's really hard to make a vaccine that would protect someone from the coronaviruses. Probably the research is not there yet. So the previous vaccines against the coronaviruses actually were leaky, meaning that they did not protect people from the reinfection, and we're seeing that now. And because you get reinfected after being vaccinated, it means that the antibodies that you have, they bind to this pathogen, to this virus, which makes the virus mutate. So when they say that, the unvaccinated breed the variants, it's not true. It's not scientifically accurate, because the virus mutates in vaccinated people,
Veronica,
making them more durable, more vaccine resistant in the future.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to come home to the United States, because we see what's happening in so many different nations right now, but it really seems to be sheer lunacy what is happening, you know, in so many countries abroad, but even with what's happening within the United States. Now, you just released an article this week concerning Washington State. Some have said that this is nothing more than a nationwide rumor and there's no truth to it. What do we know about what is happening in Washington State?
So, the Washington State Board of Health has proposed forcibly isolating and quarantining COVID-positive individuals and even the whole groups of them, such as families, or those who are just suspected of being infected. And those are just not just rumors. If you go to my article, like you said, it was published on January 10th. And if you see, if you look for the proposed revision, I specifically provided a link to the official page of the Washington State Board of Health and their agenda. So this, proposed revision is on their agenda, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, the Washington State Board of Health will be discussing this issue. And they will be discussing it on January, I think, yesterday. I haven't seen any news, right? January 12th? Let me check. It's either 12th or 15th, so it's probably upcoming.
Mm-hmm.
So what this provision is about? It will grant the power to the local health officers, and it will be based on solely on their discretion to issue the detention orders to isolate people who can just be suspected of being infected and placing them in quarantines. And those quarantines would be 10 days long. But if the court decides that the person is still contagious and poses some kind of threat to others, this quarantine may last for up to 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that Washingtonians should worry, and they should contact their representatives, I think, as soon as possible, to let them know that this is just not something that should be done in America.
Right, and what's interesting is I've seen some of the stories since the meeting yesterday saying, oh, no, nothing happened. It's just rumors. It's a nationwide rumor. But I've got in my hand, Veronica, it's a solicitation for people to apply for positions. The state of Wisconsin Department of Health invites application for the position of isolation and quarantine team consultants, non-permanent positions. It tells what the salary is going to be for this, but very interesting that they've been hiring since last fall for this isolation and quarantine team consultants. If everything is just rumor, what's this all about?
Mm-hmm. The state of Washington, they also got this kind of listing on their job boards. Hiring people to take care of those who are in quarantine. So it's all there. It's not just a rumor. And the interesting part of that provision, if it's approved, anyone could be legally forced to get tested, treated, and even vaccinated if the local health authorities decide that it would contribute to the safety of others. Can you imagine that? They could not just place you in quarantine. They would just also forcefully medicate you and even vaccinate you?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like a police state. We've got a quick break here. But folks, understand that the emergency detention order could be issued. This is what Veronica is saying. That order could be issued by a local health officer based solely on their discretion. Whatever they decide, that would be the law, this local health officer. Well, we've got a break. We'll be back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
James 4:14 poses this thought. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Have you ever stopped to consider where you will spend eternity? You may say, but I'm a good person. I care for my family. I feed the poor. I stand up for life and traditional values. While all of these things are good, they fall far short of God's standard. Every one of us has a sin issue that must be dealt with. Our sin separates us from God, and each of us deserves to be eternally removed from God in everlasting punishment. But out of God's great love, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to bear our sins, shed His blood, die on the cross, and rise again. He is the only way of salvation, and it's imperative for you to place your trust in Him. If you're wrestling with this issue, we'd like to send you a complimentary leaflet, Where Will You Spend Eternity? To receive a copy, just ask for it when you call us at 1-800-729-9829. 800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Again, if you've just joined us, we had some breaking news at the very start of the program today, just minutes before walking in the studio. The Supreme Court issued their opinion that the shot mandates were coming down from the Biden administration to OSHA to businesses of 100 or more employees. That was viewed as being unconstitutional. The other part of the lawsuits that were brought and heard by the U.S. Supreme Court were allowed to stand, and that is the Biden administration's forcing hospitals, healthcare facilities that receive Medicaid or Medicare funding to be able to force this upon their employees. That has been allowed to stand in that there are federal dollars that are affiliated with that. Will this cause different facilities to pull out of Medicare or Medicaid? We don't know. Will this cause more in the medical professional to leave the industry? Absolutely, that is going to take place, as it has already. We've seen an exodus take place. We've seen mass firings taking place, even from such places as Mayo Clinic. And it's happening around the country. Now, friends, we'd like to open our phone lines where you can talk with our guest today, Veronica Karolenko. She is a contributor to the New American magazine. She has been following and writing on these issues. She's a research associate at a defense consulting firm, and she holds a Ph.D. in political science. Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Veronica, let me ask you about Dr. Fauci, because he has just come under the microscope big time as it relates to this whole topic of gain of function. He has denied and denied and denied any gain of function, but yet when you look at what transpired with COVID and its gain of function, all fingers point right back to him.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you're right, Jim. So on Monday, Project Veritas released some bombshell documents, and they indicate that the U.S. military's premier scientific research organization, DARPA, had declined to fund the research projects on bad coronaviruses that was proposed by the EcoHealth Alliance, because this proposal met all standards of the banned gain-of-function research. And at the same time, the National Institute of Allergies and Infectious Diseases, under the direction of Dr. Anthony Fauci, they proceeded with that project in Wuhan, China, and even at several sites across the United States. If you haven't read that report and all of the documents that were obtained by Project Veritas, just go ahead to Project Veritas, I urge you, and see for yourself. And if it all turns out to be true and legit, it would mean that I don't know how much evidence do we need more, you know, to hold Fauci and NIH. He just recently resigned, Collins, but they need to be held accountable, because what they did is unspeakable. This caused the pandemic. This caused it all. So they conducted this kind of those dangerous experiments, knowing that they were dangerous, knowing that they were gain of function. They still proceeded, and they are just denying. And this is absolutely terrifying. I don't know what kind of person you need to be, to continue to lie despite all of the evidence. It's absolutely astounding to me.
Let me just mention this, and our phone lines are packed, so we'll go to them. But let me just say this, that the and thank you, Sandy, for finding this. But the court, the ruling on the OSHA requirement, the vote was 6-3. With the liberal justices that dissented on that, that would be, the three liberals, the Sotomayor and Kagan and Brennan. The vote was 5-4 to allow the health care worker rules. The two that joined with the liberals were Chief Justice John Roberts and Justice Brett Kavanaugh. Those were the two that joined the liberals in the majority to force this upon healthcare workers. Lines are packed. Let's go to Kathy in Monroe, Wisconsin. Kathy, you're on the air.
Hi. Yeah, I know that the Lord says we're not to fear, but you know, it's just scary. I think of the Jews and how they were rounded up and during the Holocaust, and now, you know, they're claiming us unvaccinated, we're the terrorists, and they got to round us up to protect the population. I mean, so what can we do as individuals? I mean, we try to get the truth out and write to our congressmen and everything, but and then, of course, prayer, but what? I mean, how do we fight this?
Well, so thank you for that. And I understand even there's a rally coming up in Washington, Veronica?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I just wanted to mention that, Kathy, thank you very much for that amazing question. I wanted to say that there are some venues that people still can go to and make their voices heard. There is a very massive rally coming in Washington, D.C. on January 23rd, and it is organized by Global COVID Summit and Children's Health Defense, organizations that have been outspoken about the risks associated with the COVID shots, particularly in children. Heavy-handed government response and efficacy of the early, they also, you know, stress that there are effective and safe early treatments against COVID. So there is nothing to be afraid of in terms of COVID, but I agree with Kathy, we should be afraid of those who handle the pandemic. Yes, if you can make it, please join that rally here on January 23rd. What else can we do? You know, we have the strength that those other, you know, people who try to demonize the unvaccinated, they do not have that. They do not have the core. They do not have those moral values. They do not have God. I believe that they are absolutely immoral. Those people cannot tell good from that, good from evil. But we do, and we have the strength, and we have each other, we have our families, we have our Second Amendment. So I do believe they are very much essential, not to turn into Australia or France,
right,
or Germany at this point.
Kathy, thank you for the call. And here, let me just also mention this, and that is that there are a number of communities that are rising up when their states are going rogue, or that if governments, the federal government's going rogue, they said, we're not going to comply with that. You know, we're not going to force that upon our citizens. So your connection to your local units of government, your city, your county, your state, you know, and you progressively going up, that's where you have the greatest impact. And there have been a number of cities, there have been a number of counties that said, though this mandate's coming down, we're not going to comply with that. So that's another area as far as being engaged in. And I know in your state, Wisconsin, there's a lot of local elections that are coming up here just in the next weeks to come. Our lines are packed. We're going to Andrea in Lanesboro, Minnesota. You're on the air.
Yes, hi there. See, I wanted to ask you quickly, you know, I've got a lot of friends who are vaccinated, and they don't, you know, kind of get a pushback from them because we are not. And I tried to explain to them that, and they come back and they say, well, all these people are in the hospital and there's so many people dying. And I say, well, why aren't they treated early? And so my question to you and to your guest is, where does this direction come from that these doctors are not treating patients early on? And I'll hang up and take it off air if that's okay. Okay.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you, Kathy. As far as I know, there is no proven outpatient treatment that the CDC officially recommends.
No.
And this is after 2 years of the pandemic. I mean, there is something really sinister going on with that. I mean, there are, you know, people know that they need to drink plenty of liquids and they need to take probably zinc and vitamin D3. And, you know, get plenty of rest. But other than that, it's just a common knowledge. But the CDC does not have any official recommended outpatient protocol. Why is that? It's a very good question. Why not?
Right.
But, there is some early treatment recommended for sure, but we know that many hospitals would just, if you're fine, if you still, you know, can walk and breathe, they would just send you back home saying, okay, you're good, you can just come back when you're feeling worse. And sometimes it just takes it costs people life.
Let me just also mention this, that next week we are scheduled to have with us Twyla Braze from the Citizens Council for Health Freedom, and they have just released a brand new updated version of the COVID-19 Quick Reference Guide. We'll be talking about that. And we've also interviewed Dr. Elizabeth Lee Valete from the Truth for Health Foundation. Mm-hmm. And they have got a treatment guide on their site, too, a pre-treatment or when you have this matter. And I would like to suggest you go to truthforhealth.org. And they have some of those protocols, the treatment guides, that don't follow, what's coming from what the CDC is denying, but there have been many, many doctors that have followed this course of action that have helped many, many people. So that is something to consult with as well. Jody is calling from Kenosha, Wisconsin. Jody, you're on the air.
Yes, I just wanted to say to you, I went to my doctor this morning and for a regular med check. I take only one medication,
mm-hmm.
and I'm very healthy.
Yeah.
And he was saying, you know, how good I was, everything was. And then he said, did you get vaccinated? And this is in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And I had said, no, I did not. I do not. And he had said to me that I didn't care about people because I was not vaccinated. And I said that I have faith beliefs, religious beliefs, as far as the vaccination goes.
Mm-hmm.
And I said that I would have my pastor write up a religious exemption. And he had said, he had given me 1 month to give him that religious exemption, but he told me that if I didn't get the vaccination, he could no longer be my doctor.
Your primary care doctor.
My care doctor. Yes.
Wow, wow. And Veronica, that kind of pressure is coming out there, and it is amazing to see what's coming down, through some of these clinics as well.
Yes, and I know that the medical school, medical boards are actually, they are disciplining, so to say, doctors who question vaccine safety and efficacy who promote early treatments that the CDC does not recommend using. This is everywhere, and I'm really sorry for Jody that mm-hmm. the doctor would say something like that to her, because he knows her condition, I bet. And, you know, when people say that they would not take some kind of medicine because of their religious beliefs, this is a big no-no in medical ethics. You insist for a patient to take something that they just cannot do.
Thank you, Jody. We're going to Frida in Walla Walla, Washington. You're on the air.
Hi, I just wanted to know why or what can be done. Why aren't they spending some money on making sure that there are antivirals and monoclonal antibodies and treatments available for people like they have done for 100 years for mm-hmm. when you have pneumonia or you go in and you have strep throat? Give you the treatment so that you can get well at home and you don't end up in the hospital, instead of wasting it on a stupid vaccine that isn't any good anyway.
Thank you. I tell you what, we're up against a break, Frida. I'm going to have our guest respond to that after the break. Appreciate your call. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brennan House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. The most prestigious law enforcement magazine in America is called Law Enforcement Today. Their website, lawenforcementtoday.com. Let me repeat. It is the most widely read and prestigious law enforcement publication in America. This is not some extremist website. It is read by the largest population of law enforcement officials in America. Today, their headline, is Washington State looking to detain residents in 2022 version of internment camps? Sure looks that way. It's about legislation in Washington State looking to try to throw Americans into internment camps, over not being vaccinated or maybe even supposedly being infected with COVID, much like Australia and Austria. Law enforcement magazines are paying attention. Are you?
I just saw a press release coming from Americans for Limited Government saying the OSHA mandate may be dead, but the federal power over health care is very much alive. So don't be completely fooled by this decision. Pretty much a mixed decision coming forth from the court that came out just a minutes before the program today. Veronica Kirilenko is with us today here on Crosstalk. You'll find many of her articles at thenewamerican.com, thenewamerican.com. You will not find her articles on the front page of your secular newspapers, I'll guarantee that. But she writes on issues and does fact-finding and provide the information. Veronica, we just had the caller indicate, why are we, you know, putting so much into the shot? We've already declared about the rise of COVID with the more people getting shots across the country and around the world. Why are we not putting more into the monoclonal treatments? Why not more into the medicines and so forth to stop people or to help them at home even before these symptoms get even more severe?
Yes. I want to thank Frida for that question. Well, because this is because the COVID response has never been about health. This is purely political. Mm-hmm. That's why. And we know that the CDC and the FDA are deeply corrupt and connected with the big pharma. That's why. And they don't get any money on people being healthy, and they don't get any political points on people being united and clear-minded, I'd say. They do want people to live in fear. They do really want this fear porn to continue. And as long as people remain isolated from each other and scared, This is how they assert their power and authority. This is how I see it.
Let's go to Joseph in Racine, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Joseph.
Hello. Yes. I'm just thinking about the United We Stand. You know, the United States, we stand together. We stand strong. These people that want to take us and put us in the camps because we don't take the shot. Well, what are we going to do when this happens? Who's standing with us? Who are we going to stand with?
Well, certainly, thank you for the call here, Joseph. Certainly, as we mentioned, the Supreme Court just shot down the force upon employees, companies with employees of 100 or more, allowed it to stand for health care workers. But you're right. There are constitutional principles here. We the people, and the Constitution must stand. And as we had, you know, some people say, well, who cares about what it says? Who cares what the law says? But it does make a difference, and that's why it does matter who we elect into office as well, from the local government on up. So staying in contact with your local officials on this, as well as your legislators all the way on up to who you elect this fall, is going to impact who is controlling Congress, who is going to have control of the House of Representatives, who will have control over the U.S. Senate, and certainly we see what's happening in state legislatures as well. Some are going completely liberal on this, others are standing for the Constitution. And, Veronica, if we throw out the Constitution, we are indeed in trouble.
Yeah, yes, and this is what the New American and the John Birch Society is about. And if you're interested, you know, to really apply your patriotism and help the Constitution to just to stand, like you said, and for the country to remain, for America to remain America, you should go to thenewamerican.com, subscribe to the magazine, but better yet, go to the JBS.org and see what you can do, because you are powerful and it is within your power to change this absolutely terrible reality.
Let's go to Philip in Richland, Washington. Philip, you're on the air. Philip, you're on the air. Please go ahead. Okay, let's go to Lance, Michigan. In Zoltan, you're on the air.
Yes, question and then a comment. My question is, when you get COVID, if you're unvaccinated and you get through it, you have natural immunity. If you have been vaxxed and get COVID, when you get through it, you do not have natural immunity, correct?
I think you do. If you recover, then you have those antibodies.
If you recover
you,
from
that,
COVID.
That your body produces.
Well,
it is, okay. I think it counts as natural immunity.
Well, I've never heard that specifically addressed, because calling it a vaccine is changing the definition of what a vaccine
is.
Would a more accurate description of what's going on is a prophylactic therapeutic that hijacks your immune system?
It may be our guest here today, Zoltan, is not a medical professional. She's writing and covering this, but next week we do have a public health nurse, Twyla Braze, that will be with us. We've had other doctors and medical professionals on that may be a more appropriate call. But I will say this, that they did change the definition of vaccine following the rollout of the COVID-19 shot.
Yeah, the CDC previously said that the vaccine is something that protects you from getting infected, so they changed it to something that protects you from severe outcomes of the disease. So those vaccines are not vaccines, as your listener just said, but they are rather gene therapeutics. This is what they are, in fact.
Thank you, Zoltan. We're going to squeeze one last call in from West Allis, Wisconsin. Brad, you're on the air.
Jim. The Supreme Court really left the door hanging open on this one. It looks like a mixed decision is the best we can hope to get.
Yeah.
What I don't understand is these fake vaccines, and they are fake, are still in the testing stage. They're experimental.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We've heard of the guy from Liberty Counsel.
Matt Staver.
Yes. He said that when it's experimental, you don't have to take it.
Right.
So how can the Supreme Court leave these healthcare workers hanging in the wind like that? That's ridiculous.
You're exactly right, Brad. It is ridiculous. And where this is going, I don't know at this point. It is ridiculous as far as that matter. It's still under the emergency use authorization. So it is troubling indeed. We're out of time. Veronica, our guest. Veronica, thank you so much for your research, your in-depth articles that you're writing at thenewamerican.com, and just appreciate the level of information you're providing for people across the nation.
Jim, thank you very much for having me on your show. It's a privilege.
Great. Again, Veronica Kirilenko, our guest here today on Crosstalk, writes for thenewamerican.com. The breaking news from the court, where they have overturned the OSHA mandate but allowed the Biden administration again to force this upon medical facilities receiving Medicare and Medicaid. Folks, don't lose heart. Remember not to fear. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Our trust is not in the court. Our trust is in the Lord. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.